In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to all you guys out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, here live at First String Sports on the corner of Sierra and Blackstone Avenue. First String Sports has been there from the beginning for my show, and just very appreciative of them. Come on down here. They got everything that you need here: baseball equipment, soccer equipment, basketball stuff, and mainly Letterman's jackets. As you can see, if you're watching live on Facebook and a lot of the pictures that I post on Twitter, I'm in the Letterman's jacket room. I call it the place to be. This is the only place where you can get your Letterman's jacket. So, and they'll hook you up. They'll help you customize it, embroider it. They'll do anything that you need here at First String Sports. So want to thank them eternally. I'm very, very grateful to First String Sports. All right, we have a huge show lined up for you guys today. 2 hours every Saturday from 10 to 12. I love breaking down games that have happened, future games, getting to know coaches and players. We have a 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week every week. But a little bit of a programming note. So next week, there will be no Central Valley Sports Report. I am taking my annual trip to Las Vegas that I do with my buddies. We go and watch the Mountain West men's basketball tournament there. When I got this gig in August, that's kind of one of the first things I thought about. Like, well, am I going to be able to still do my Las Vegas deal with my guys and then sit in the stands and watch all the games? And, yeah, so I was going back and forth because, like I've said many times, I love doing the show. But I'm going to Las Vegas, taking a little break, so no show next week. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking with Gabe Camarillo. We're going to be chatting about all the good things that are happening around the Central section. Mainly, we're going to be talking about basketball. One of the huge games tonight, actually, it's the marquee game. It's the main thing happening in town tonight. Clovis West and Modesto Christian boys in the open division. Clovis West is the number 2 seed. Modesto Christian is the 3 seed. Happening at the Eagles Nest at 5 o'clock. So if you haven't got your tickets, just got to go online and get your tickets. If this game is any indication of what we had the last few weeks with Clovis West, you are in for a great one. Gabe and I are going to be breaking that down. And much, much more coming up after the break. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to be chatting with Carruthers girls coach Alan Almeida. She is one of the best coaches in the Central section, one of the best medium to small school coaches in the state of California. They are the 2019 Division V state champions. That was an incredible run. We're definitely going to be talking about that. And they've won 5 out of the last 7 Central section championships, including this year. They lost a heartbreaker on Thursday in the state. They were on the road playing up at Menlo. They had a lead in the fourth quarter. Unfortunately, they lost. They were the 6 seed. They lost to the 3 seed. But, yeah, really looking forward to talking to Coach Almeida about her teams and what it's taken for a small school like Carruthers and to turn it into a state powerhouse like they are. At the top of hour number 2, we're going to be turning our attention to baseball. Baseball is in the air, and we have our first baseball player as our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, and it's a name you got to be familiar with. If you're not familiar with him by now, you are going to be in the next, let's just say 4 or 5 years. His name is Murph Gray. He's from Madera South. He signed with Fresno State. He's a physical specimen at 6'3", 200 pounds. He's a shortstop. He hit like 472 last year. First game of the year this year, what does he do against Washington Union? Well, he just goes out and throws a perfect game. How about that for a start to his senior year? So at 11 o'clock, we'll be talking with Murph Gray. About a lot of fun things. And I don't know, maybe he might get drafted this year. Who knows? We're going to be discussing a lot of those things. At the bottom of hour number 2, we're going to stick with Madera South. We're going to bring in Coach Alan Sandoval, who played at Kerman, is a 4-year player for the Lions, played at Fresno Pacific. He's one of the bright young coaches in the Central section, so looking to Looking forward to talk to Coach Sandoval. We actually have a fun connection that we're going to get into when he comes on at the bottom of hour number two around 11:30. All right, regarding basketball, how much good stuff was out there this last week? Well, so much good stuff that it's going to be really hard to get all this information to you guys. But let's just start again with Clovis West. So their Central Section Championship game against St. Joe's, which was last week after the show, so we haven't got to talk about it. Those guys, again, they were down at halftime. They were down by 20 points in the third quarter and ended up winning in overtime. It was one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. It seems like they get down by double digits. It's no problem. It's no problem for these guys. I mean, Vance Wahlberg just has these guys dialed in. And I talked to a lot of the assistant coaches after the games, and they say, man, this group of kids, they're built different. They don't care what the score is. They just go out and play. They don't get down too much as far as mentally. Maybe the score, like I said, they get down by double digits, but they just grind and grind. And athletically, they don't pass the eyeball tests. Let's just say that against St. Joe's had better athletes. They had 6'3" guards who could jump out of the gym. They have a 6'5" freshman, Tunde, who we've talked about on the show a lot. And Tyus Parrish-Tillman really, really stepped up, 6'8". And in this last week, he has been a difference maker. And if we go back to last week in their open division game, they were down 24-8 to Sheldon. 24-8 in the first quarter and came back and won. Those guys are unbelievable. Isaac Martinez, Jackson Young, all these guys are stepping up. Trey Carr. So tonight, Gabe and I are going to be breaking that game down a little bit more after the break. But tonight, Clovis West and Modesto Christian. You don't want to miss that game. The girls, Clovis West girls, another team in the open division. So for a public school to be in the open division in both boys and girls is incredible. Etowanda down south also did it, but for our local schools here to have a boys and girls team from the same school in the open division is a remarkable accomplishment. The girls are on the road, and they're going to face number 2 Archbishop Mitty. Clovis West is the 3 seed. It's a rematch of the 2017 state open championship game won by the Golden Eagles. Now, I've been covering high school sports. This is my 7th total year, and that experience with the 2017 girls team is my favorite experience so far. They played against, like I said, Archbishop Mitty, who they're playing against tonight, but they had Haley Jones, who is going to be a WNBA superstar. And watching them play at the Golden One Center in Sacramento was something I'll never forget. So tonight, good luck to Coach Craig Campbell's team. They're going against another one of the those famous national level coaches in Sue Phillips. Gabe and I are going to be talking about a little bit more about Sue Phillips and Craig Campbell after the break. So yeah, so good luck to the Golden Eagles tonight as well. And how about those Clovis North boys? As the 13th seed, these Road Warriors went down and beat number 4 Miramonte 70-68, and then they beat Folsom 45-43 in a low scoring game. Tonight they play number 1 Sacred Heart Prep. So congrats to Tony Amundsen, and his son Connor is a great player. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that game. And the San Joaquin Memorial girls are still alive. They're looking super strong in Division 2. They won the first 2 rounds, and now they have a home game tonight. They're taking on the number 8 seed Lincoln, who upset the number 1 seed. And so they get a home game. That's at 6. So since Jackie Brown left the team, these girls have really, really taken off. I watched their game against Buchanan in our section playoffs, and they look super, super strong. We've said on the show more than once that we believe that they were the second best team in all of section, but they were placed in Division 1, so we didn't get that Clovis West girls and Memorial girls matchup like we had hoped. But yeah, I think San Joaquin Memorial is not only going to win NorCal, but I think they're going to win Division 2. I think they're going to win the state championship. That's my prediction. I would not be surprised if they win the whole enchilada. So San Joaquin Memorial girls, home game tonight, 6 o'clock. In D3, NorCal, boys, Bullard, the 11 seed, also won 2 games on the road. Like Clovis North, they're going for 3 road wins in a row. They're playing number 2, Oakland. LaJuan Watts and Tyrick Harrod are leading the team, and then another Admonson, Tim Admonson, the coach. All those guys know how to do is win. So Tim and Tony have games tonight, keeping the dream alive for their respective teams. On the other end of the D3 bracket in SoCal, in the girls' division, 15-seed Orcutt Academy, who lost to Carruthers in the D3 section finals, they're going to face our section's D2 winner, number 3, Porterville. All right, figure that one out. And then in Division 3, NorCal, number 12, Central Girls, playing at number 1, Lincoln, after they beat Buchanan this last week in a home game. All right, that's our basketball state playoffs. Got a lot of teams alive. It's been a great year. It's been a great year for Central Section in the state playoffs, in the state run. It's been a lot of fun to cover these teams. A couple soccer things and a little bit of wrestling before we take a break. Buchanan girls soccer today at 5 o'clock. They are in the NorCal Division I title game at number 1, Oak Ridge. Logan Knighty was on the show a couple weeks ago, scored the game winner at home last week against St. Francis. And on the boys' side, we got one more team in our section still alive, playing in the SoCal finals in D3. That's Garces, and they are playing number 1, Francis Parker. So our two section teams are Buchanan girls and Garces boys. They're both playing schools named Francis. So, you know, obviously that reminds me of the quote from Stripes where they say, lighten up, Francis. All right, Francis, lighten up. We want our teams to win today. And we got to give a shout-out to Buchanan Wrestling. They won their 6th straight wrestling title, their 11th in the row for Clovis Unified. Because before that, Clovis won 5 in a row. So that's 11 straight state titles between Buchanan and Clovis. 5 for Clovis and now 6 for Buchanan. Incredible. Individual titles for Joey Cruz at 113 from Clovis North. Jack Geoffrey, who's been on the show, at 132 from Buchanan. Michael Geoffrey, his twin brother, at 138 from Buchanan. Joseph Martin at 182 from Buchanan. And Paul Sharp, Clovis North, who was also on the show at 220. So congrats to our Central Section wrestlers. Whew. All right. Got all that information in. Great timing. Coming up after the break, we're breaking down more basketball with Gabe Camarillo on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, on 1430 ESPN. I was really proud of myself in that first segment, getting everything in and on time. Concise and straight to the point. All right, bringing in Gabe Camarillo. Gabe, we got what a whirlwind this last week, man, of basketball, just going to games, following games on Twitter, researching, tweeting out the matchups. I mean, it was a labor of love for sure, but we love to do it. And tonight is a big one with Clovis West and Modesto Christian. It's a game that we thought might happen early in the year. Obviously, Modesto Christian came here for the big Clovis West Nike Invitational. Got to watch them a little bit. They got a super sophomore that I assure you you're going to talk about as well. But, yeah, I mean, these guys just get after it. The Golden Eagles are, you know, you just think about those Coach Vance Wahlberg teams in the 2000s, late 1990s, and the 2000s, how they just get after it, and they don't pass the eyeball test. But, man, once that ball is tipped, there's just no stopping those guys. So tonight, Gabe, what do you think about this game? What are some keys to the game for Clovis West? And what do you think about Clovis West overall this season? Man, those guys have just been so much fun to watch.
I can boil it down to one interaction I had on Wednesday during the Sheldon Clovis West open quarterfinal. Someone told me in the middle of the second quarter after Clovis West fell behind 24-8, oh, this one's over. Clovis West is—they're not going to come back from this. Sheldon's from Sacramento. They're from the you know, one of the best cities for boys basketball. It's over. And I'm like, have you seen this team play this season? Like, is this your first Clovis West game this year? Because if it is, I have a story to tell you. This is a Clovis West team that has faced adversity time in, time out. 3 times this year, they fell behind by 15 or more points. Twice by 20 or more points, and each one of those times they came back and won. Obviously, they were down 24-8 after the first quarter, but I had to tell that person, dude, slow down. It's not the third quarter yet. That's Vance's quarter. That's the Clovis West quarter. And once again, the third quarter ended up being a big quarter for Clovis West on Wednesday. And that's the key to the game is, can Clovis West be able to pull out just some more magic? Because they'll need it. In fact, talking to Wahlberg after the game on Wednesday, he somehow convinced me that Clovis West, although they were the higher seed, they were the underdog coming into tonight. He said it would be an upset, actually, if the 2-seed Clovis West Golden Eagles beat the 3-seed Modesto Christian Crusaders. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. Maybe that's just some coaches speak, but I do think that Modesto Christian, despite being the lower seed, has a lot going for them. Namely, that super sophomore you were talking about, Jamari Phillips. He's averaging almost 24 points a game. You could see that being one of the reasons why he's highly touted. You could also see the colleges that are on his tail. You have USC, Illinois, and Kansas. Yes, the Kansas Jayhawks are all offering this young man. So he'll come to Clovis West. It'll be a nice atmosphere out there at the Eagles' Nest. The key to the game for me is, can Clovis West maybe not come back in the third quarter? Can they get off to a hot start? Can they start a game from start to finish, complete from the first quarter to the fourth quarter, playing up to their potential? I think that they've been really good at coming back, but against a Modesto Christian team that's also equally talented and maybe has some guys like a B.J. Davis or a Jamari Phillips that can be really athletic and get buckets in bunches, I think that you have to, if you're Clovis West, play a complete game. You can't rely on that magic comeback, even if you've shown that you can do it time in, time out.
Yeah, they have showed us time in and time out. Just thinking about that 24-8, Clovis West was down to Sheldon after the first quarter, and we had broadcast the game, but I was privy to sit kind of in the chairs by the would that be the west side of the basket, and when it was 24-8. I think the thoughts were like, it'd be nice if Clovis West weren't down 24-8, but we've seen this movie before, and sure enough, played out in front of our eyes. Yep, here we go again. Cut it to 10, cut it to 8, and sure enough, they took the lead. But I want to mention, too, the play of Tyrus Parrish Tillman. Call him TPT. It's a little bit easier to say. Just say TPT. And I think something to remember about him is that, again, he's 6'8", son of Amy Parrish. You remember, starred at Hanford High, part of their state championship team. But remember, he sat out all of last year after transferring from Fresno Christian. He sat out mainly because he tore his ACL. And so that kid did not play at all for a full year. And he is playing at an extremely high level. His shot blocking ability, we posted a couple videos on Twitter. His help site defense has been phenomenal. He's a great free throw shooter. So you foul him late in the games, no problem. He can set up and make a free throw. But Gabe, talk about that guy.
Yeah, I think he's another key tonight, because the last couple of teams that Clovis West has played, it's fair to say they've been overmatched from an athletic standpoint. I think Sheldon had a guy named Rashad Bradley who played absolutely well for them. And the Huskies, they had a lot of other guys that were 6 foot up. And I'm not saying that Clovis West has no size advantage. I think the size advantage is Tyus Parrish Tillman. And I think that's why he's been so important, and that's why his play has stood out so much in the last two games. Against St. Joseph, you have a 6'5 freshman in Tunde Yusufu who is hurting you in the first half. I said it in the broadcast at halftime, Tyus needs to step up here, because this is the type of moment where you need your 6'8 big man to make plays in the paint. And sure enough, that's what he did in the second half and overtime to make them win a section championship. He did the exact same thing against Sheldon, where you had Bradley getting into the paint consistently. Parrish Tillman, after the first quarter, closed all lanes. He got 3 blocks, including, you posted this on Twitter, the block to seal the game. And so many plays were made by so many players, it's easy to overlook the big guy in the middle, Tyus Parrish Tillman. But they are not here tonight without that guy right there, Tyus Parrish Tillman.
Yeah, 100%. And speaking of Twitter, you can follow Gabe at Gabe Camarillo. You can follow me at Paul Meadors, PaulMeadors. We call it the super information superhighway is what we call Twitter. That's how you get updates from games, and I'll be at that game tonight, so you can follow me for updates of the boys. Now let's switch to the girls. You had a couple text exchange with Coach Campbell, I believe, just about that matchup. We mentioned how it's a rematch of the 2017 Open Division State Championship won by Clovis West in the season for the ages, just an incredible year that the Golden Eagles had. It's a rematch. They have not played since. So Archbishop Mitty, Clovis West and all their national tournaments and showcases that go on. They have not played since that game. This is going to be a great matchup. Archbishop Mitty is playing at a high level right now. So what type of information do you have going into that game?
You just have two of the best coaches in the state and possibly two of the best girls basketball coaches in the country going at it at Archbishop Mitty with Craig Campbell and Sue Phillips. He told me, we talked after the game on Wednesday, and he told me that they were looking forward to this earlier this week. They were both hoping they would win their quarterfinal matchup so they could face each other in the semis. And I think this is a big challenge for Clovis West, but I think what they showed us against Folsom on Wednesday is there is no moment too big for their two stars, Athena Tomlinson and Toya Montgomery. Each played extremely well, and that's not to take away from all the other players who made absolutely phenomenal plays. You got to give credit to Kennedy Vincent, Raya Smith, and the freshman Riley Walls, who made the game-sealing steal to preserve a 51-48 lead. Overall, they are a team that is deep. And they're young, yes, but I think that this experience, to have them in the semifinal matchup against Archbishop Mitty, it's going to serve them well down the road. And I'm not saying it will be an upset, but I am saying if Clovis West wins tonight, it's probably not going to shock a lot of people because of how good Clovis West has been. And they have a one-game winning streak over Archbishop Mitty, so maybe they'll make it two.
Yeah, and they've made some clutch plays late in that game against Folsom. And then they had a grinded-out game to win the Central Section Championship, the Open against Bakersfield. Like, it was a little bit tougher than a lot of people thought. It was, Bakersfield had a couple shots late to get within two, missed them. Clovis West just did enough defensively to stop Bakersfield and ended up with a 10-point win in that game. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to that. I'll be tweeting updates as well on that game. And then those Road Warriors, Gabe, Clovis North boys. You talked to Coach Tony Admonson. 45-43 in their latest game is a super low game, but what they held their opponent to what? Was it 10 points in the second half?
8 points in the second
Eight
half.
8 points in the second
yeah.
half.
It was 35-20 at halftime, and then it was 41-24 midway through the third quarter. So keep this in mind, right? 41-24, Folsom. The final score was 45-43, Clovis North. Do the math, that's a 21-2 run to end the game. And it's defense, and more defense. We saw them play in the track, and we saw them have to go against high-powered offenses like Clovis West and Central. That got them ready for facing some of the big powers in this state like Folsom and Miramonte. And Tony Amundson said that is, the track is one of the best boys basketball leagues in the state, so having to go against Clovis West three times this year, an open entry, and having to go against Central twice, who almost made the D2 or D3 semifinals. They almost made it. They were in overtime and lost a heartbreaker on the road. You know, having to face some of the top competition in the state for 10 games got them ready for this moment. It's so funny to look at the D1 semifinal matchups because you have 1-4 on one side of the bracket, 2-3, 2-3 in the other two, and then Clovis West is the 13 seed going to face Sacred Heart Prep in Atherton tonight. I mean, they are the Cinderella in D1, but it's hard to say they're a Cinderella because they're doing what we've seen them do all season long, play great, energetic defense, and turn that into offense.
Yeah, I want to mention a few things, Gay. We got a couple minutes, but like I said in the last segment, our Central Section basketball teams, we've made a great showing up and down the states. And there are a lot of questions about the seedings. Well, are these teams placed in the right divisions, right? You got, Carruthers in Division III for girls. You got Bullard Boys, who are the 11 seed, who are still advancing in D3, right? And, you see a lot of these lower seeds, so to speak, that are moving on. I think that just shows the strength of the Central Section, right? So they're taking all of our teams that make the finals, win or lose, you make the finals, and then to take the semifinals of the Open and Division I, and they kind of fill in some other schools to fill in the brackets, but I think this has been a great showing.
Yeah, and something we haven't mentioned and I wanted to bring it up was, you saw it, that buzzer beater for Bakersfield Christian, Eric Chaney hit one of the shots of the season. I mean, one of the shots of the last couple seasons. I haven't seen something like that happen since I've covered high school sports ball. And oh my goodness, I can't believe what I saw. I mean, to describe those who haven't seen it, it was probably 1 second left on the clock.
There was, I think there was officially 4 seconds.
4 seconds.
But the ball was inbounded on the far side, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so he threw it. Like, it was a nice quarterback pass. I don't know who threw it, but it found the hands of Eric Chaney, And he just heaved a prayer at the buzzer, and it went in, and Garrett Brown sprinted faster than I've ever seen him sprint ever before. That play encapsulated what Central Section basketball has been this season. You know, these teams are gritty, hard fighters. And sure, they may not always be the biggest people on the court, but they have the most heart on the court. That's most definitely true. And you see a team like Bakersfield Christian pull out a win like that, and the emotions of the players afterwards, they give it their all. And it doesn't matter who they're facing on the other side of the hardwood. These Central Section teams are going to battle. Clovis West has shown it. Bakersfield Christian has shown it. Clovis North has shown it on the road. It's no secret to me that Central Section basketball is one of the most competitive types of basketball in the state because of who we are here in the Central Valley. We're hardworking people. We want to fight till the bitter end, and our basketball teams show that.
Great stuff, as always, Gabe. Coming up after the break, speaking of hardworking, homegrown, we got Carruthers girls basketball coach Anna Almeida coming up on 1430 ESPN on the Central Valley Sports Report.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. I am your host, Paul Metters, here at First String Sports. Talking basketball for this first hour. Gabe Camarillo, just broke down Clovis West, boys and girls, Clovis North. We got a lot of teams that are still alive in the Central Section. And we're bringing in Carruthers head coach Alan Almeida. Anna Almeida. I have Alan Sandoval coming on the show. Anna Almeida. Anna, I've been texting you for the last couple weeks to see a date when you can come on. And I finally went to your Central Section championship game. And you haven't been able to come on because you've been busy, right? Church camp, yeah. Kids games. So you haven't been ditching me, right? So you're finally here.
Yeah. Definitely not ditching you.
Okay, so you've been the head coach at Carruthers for 17 years. You're the 2022 D3 Central Section champs. You went 28-4 this year. Five-time Central Section champ. Five in the last 7 years, right?
Yeah.
Five in the last 7 years. You were the 2019 Cal High Division V Coach of the Year. Did you know that?
I did, yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Cal High Sports does a great job. How many league games in a row are you up to right now? 93?
Yeah, 92 or 93.
92 or 93, yeah. League games in a row. That's an incredible, incredible streak. All right. Let's start with what happened recently. Then we'll work backward a little bit, talk about your program overall and how you became a Central Section power. You guys had a tough one, right, on Thursday. I'm following the game on Twitter. Carruthers girls basketball Twitter account does a great job with updating scores. You guys were up most of the game, up, I think, 7 in the fourth quarter, and then they kept chipping away. I'm like, no, you're up 1, you missed free throws. So what happened in that tough loss up there in Menlo?
It was like the 3:33 mark. Chrissy picked up her fourth foul. It actually was a clean strip when you watch film by Yolisa Padilla, our number 4, and they gave it to her, and so she sat down from 3:33 until 1:52, and that kind of was a difference maker. Took a scorer off the floor, a rebounder off the floor, a finisher underneath and stuff, and so they kept chipping away, and we just couldn't execute from the free throw line, and we had some good shots. They were close, hit the rim, but we just couldn't do it, and then we got 2 threes off, and we didn't finish.
So. What'd you tell the girls after the game? Did you mainly, obviously there's probably tears, right? And there's disappointment and all that, but did you wrap it up saying, girls, we had a phenomenal year. We're Central Section champs. We were this close.
Absolutely. We couldn't, I mean, why rehash a game that we can't play again, right? Why beat a dead horse? So we just talked about how much they've accomplished. Obviously all the seniors were crying and we're like, oh man, it kind of sucks for them, but just how much they've accomplished and what they've meant to our program. So that's basically all we did, and told the underclassmen they got 2 weeks off, and then it's back to the drawing board. So
yeah, Saturdays are going to be ramping up a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
So about this year's team, I loved watching your girls play. You know, I've heard about you. I've seen all the highlights. Talk about this year's team, who some of your standouts were, and about the team as a whole.
Obviously, we had some pretty good shooters this year, and so that helped. We didn't score a lot of points in the post unless it was Chrissy. So it was mainly thriving on our shooters. So Morgan Trigero led us from outside the three. Anna Marshall could really shoot the ball. Anissa Torres, who typically didn't shoot the three that much, came on really big for us here in the postseason. Yolisa Padilla, also another shooter. So we had shooters that across, we had at least four on the floor all the time. And then Chrissy just, she's so freakishly athletic.
She is.
God, I mean, it just, it's insane. If she knew her actual potential, it would be, she would be a beast. Like, there, you just can't build a frame like that. She could score at all three levels. And she definitely helped us get in our alley-oops, you know, like, she's obviously not dunking, but we could throw them up there and she'll catch them and finish them. So it was fun. They're good. Good.
What's next year looking like?
We'll have to fill. Obviously, we're losing three seniors, one in the post, which will that one will be filled. But we have to fill Chrissy and Anna, and that's something that, you know, we're trying to play with pieces. You can't replace Chrissy unless you get somebody as freakishly athletic as her. So we have some puzzle pieces that we're going to kind of fill with and see how it goes.
Did you start a freshman? I saw a freshman got a lot of playing time, right?
Yeah, Mia, and she's returning. Yeah, she she was our post player. She just is a diesel truck.
Yeah.
And she just takes up so much space. Now, if we could just get her to the ball and teach her some post moves and stuff like that. She was surprised when she first started, like, me.
Yeah. She wasn't used to it, right?
Yeah. So, but, yeah, she plays a lot.
Okay. Now, when I took the trip down to Carruthers, well, first of all, I got to say, Anna, that Carruthers, I still have – memories of losing to Carruthers in my senior year in boys, 1989. We lost to Carruthers in double overtime. So whenever I hear the word Carruthers, I'm just being honest, whenever I hear the word Carruthers, I kind of tense up a little bit still. I have flashbacks of that double overtime, gut-wrenching Central Section Championship loss. So anyway, but when I drove to Carruthers for your game, there's all these landmarks, right? Driving down 41, hit the liquor gets last gas station with the plane on it, right? And drive through town. So a lot of memories flooded in my mind as well, but I just love Carruthers, Fowler, Kingsburg, just a lot of these medium-sized schools / small schools. It's just, they encompass the town, right? One school towns. There's just something special about that. So what makes Carruthers such a special place?
I think actually what you said, I actually graduated from high school there, so going back there, it feels like you're family, you know, and you know everybody. The girls that I'm coaching now are people that I went to high school with. So it's like you have a different relationship because you knew them. It's not like just a parent. You're like, hey, we used to be friends. We're going to have conversations. And then people that used to support me when I was a player show up to games.
Yeah.
Like two of the gentlemen that watched me play in high school drove all the way to Menlo to watch me coach, you know? So it's a different atmosphere because I'm from there and I bleed Carruthers blue.
I can see that. What are some of the landmarks that have changed in that town? I got some tacos at that taco from that taco stand right there at the liquor store with the airplane on it. But what are some things that have changed there? I was kind of driving through. I remember there was like a video store. I don't know if it was Blockbuster or anything. We used to rent videos there because I had friends from all over. But has anything changed in that town since you've been there?
So yeah, the video store is gone.
Yeah,
we have way more restaurants than we used to have. And the grocery store changed names. We have our libraries bigger. But like the post office is still the same.
Yeah.
Danny's Donuts is still the same. All the gas stations are the same, you know, so those things haven't changed. The new Valero on Mountain View has really added.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's a big change for us. Yeah. So
I saw that. Yeah. I saw that there. That was different for me.
Yeah.
So you played there and mm-hmm. you just finished your 17th year of coaching. So how did you get into coaching, and did you just always stick around in the Central Valley? You never left California or the Valley for college or anything? You just kind of stuck around, and then how'd you get into coaching there?
I played at Reedley for Coach Tesler, mm-hmm. And he kind of drove my passion. He said that I was going to be a coach one day, and so when I left there, I knew that I was going to be a basketball coach. I didn't know that it was going to be like this, but and then I was subbing in Carruthers, and they had a job opening, and Jim Sargent was there, and now Orrin Hirschhorn, who was the, he was the athletic director when I first started, and they're like, hey, you're a teacher, and then the girls' basketball coach quit, and they said, going with the teaching position, you're going to have to be the girls' basketball coach. And I was like, oh. I was 23. I, you know, knew you don't know how to run a program, what it expects, you know, and it took me, I was starting a family, so it took a little while, and then we just kept grinding away, and so, but Jim Sargent was the one, and Orrin, they were like, hey, we need a basketball coach, and we're going to give you a teaching job, and that's kind of how it started.
Do you remember your first practice or your first game? Were you just, like, super, super nervous? You're like, what is happening right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, Meredith Polium was at Clovis East at the time, and we went to a summer league tournament there, and it was my very first game, and she was so sweet. She put us against Yosemite, you know, the powerhouse.
Yeah, so sweet. Yeah,
super sweet. And so I was like, okay, we're getting to lose by 80, which we did. But my best player caught an elbow to the forehead and split open her forehead. So I'm like, get your hand off your head and run. And she took her hand off and blood's flying out. I'm like, put your hand back on your forehead. So we lose by 80. I take my best player to go get staples, and I'm like, this is coaching in Crothers. All right.
So, I mean, so you're losing by 80, and you're basically starting the program from scratch.
Yeah.
So, or whatever, flash forward to 2015, where you win a state title. In between, what did it take for you to build that program into the program that it is today? What did it take? What are the steps you had to go through?
A lot of time. So we actually realized that we're never going to catch those schools unless we start playing basketball earlier and spending more time doing it. So we started kids in kindergarten playing NJB, building them like in the winter season. We coached all spring. So we started fall in September, and we would play all the way to May with little kids because they needed more time on the court, and that's the only way they were going to be good enough to compete with these bigger schools that they were playing against. Like, we're not built like Kingsburg.
Yeah.
You know, we just don't have the anemones. We're not as deep. We don't have as many kids. And so we started doing that, worked really well with the softball coaches and volleyball coaches, and begged kids to play basketball.
So how important is that for a school like Carruthers to be able to share athletes, to have good communication with the other coaches, to have an administration that's behind your back? I mean, that's huge, isn't it?
There's no way any of us would survive without it. I have a great relationship with the softball coach. One of the volleyball coach is one of my former players who I begged, who was actually a softball player. I begged him. I was like, listen, I need you to play basketball. You're the best athletes. I'll do whatever it takes. They did whatever it took. And that's who I won my first Valley Championship with, was them, those girls. We started in the fifth grade with them and just worked around their travel schedule, everything that we could do to make sure they could be in the gym.
Are there some other programs that you modeled your program from? I know, you know, Coach Craig Campbell. I know you guys have a great relationship. And I remember talking to Craig when I first started to do high school sports. And I said, what's the reason for your success? And he said the Little Hoopsters program. And I kind of like, what, really? I didn't get it. And then I started to watch Little Hoopsters, and my girls were involved with it, and I started to see that was it. Is there a program that you modeled after to get that going, or is it just kind of a mix match between your own ideas and another program?
I think it was like an evolution of necessity. So, like, I watched him do his things. I obviously, AAU basketball is modeled after him, but I realized we didn't have the same athletes as he had, so I needed to do more. So Little Hoopsters wasn't going to be enough for us. And that's when we started NJB in kindergarten and just trying to get that kindergarten through fourth grade so that they are ready when they start AAU for us, which we model after him in the spring. And then that wasn't going to be enough. So we started fall AAU, you know, just to try to get things a little bit more in depth, because out in Crothers, we need more time in the gym than possibly he would probably need. So
speaking of the gym, is that gym always rocking for your games? I mean, that place can get loud. The intimacy of that gym, the banners that are up against the wall, the student sections, right? How fun is that gym?
It is. It's won us a lot of basketball games. Yeah, I'd say the heat in that gym helps a lot, because it's so tight and insulated that getting all those bodies in there, and then it makes it so hot. The other team is like, why is it so hot in here? And they're screaming, and it's awesome. Those fans, they pack the house. So
Can your players hear you screaming over their screaming? Or there's some times where like, coach, I didn't hear you at all.
In the first half, yeah. In the first half, because they're playing away from our bench, yeah. They struggle. They say that they're like, I can't hear because the student section is right there.
Yeah.
So it does play a part. So we try hand signals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Try to get a look and then teach them how to communicate. So
I definitely want to talk about your state championship team. Where's your ring at? Do you keep it hidden? Do you have a ring, right?
Got rings. I do. I'm really bad at it. I feel like it's bad juju if I wear it. Like, I should have worn it here because I can't lose a basketball game on a radio show. But, like, if I wear it to a game, if I had my ring on, I always take it off and put it in my bag.
Yeah.
So that it didn't bring – I'm very superstitious. Okay. So.
What does it look like?
It's huge. It's big. We did black. We kind of modeled that. Craig did a ring, and it was black, and I was like, oh, I love it. Like, yeah. I liked it. So we did more of a matte black, like a charcoal black. It's big, has a big C in it, says state champs on it. I like it. It's probably one of my favorite rings.
Yeah.
Because it's so big.
Yeah.
It's nice. Has a lot of jewels on it. So, and it has enough jewels to match our Valley Championship and stuff like that.
Oh,
so,
nice. Yeah. Nice. Talk with Anna Almeida, the coach of Carruthers Girls. All right. So let's talk about that championship game. Is that Golden One, right?
Yeah.
Describe that game, the emotions afterwards. Was just an outpouring of emotions? When you think about that, you still give you goosebumps? Is it hard to capture all that?
Oh, yeah. It's more fun to watch the game because when you're in it, you're experiencing it in a different way. So when you watch it afterwards, we filmed it, and you're just like, oh, my God, this is – it's unbelievable. You can't believe that you actually did that, that you were able to get there and win.
And you guys won by, like, 20-something, right?
Yeah, we almost shot perfect from the three-point line in the first half. We missed – 1-3, and that was with 2 minutes to go in the game. It couldn't have been a better shooting night ever. Like, it was insane.
And usually in those big arenas like that, obviously it's where the Kings play, you never know what you're going to get shooting-wise. Were your girls – you weren't able to do a shoot-around, right, just warm up before the game? Did you feel like, hey, this could be – the girls are kind of hitting right now, or are they not hitting?
So Woodland Christian actually has it was a hangar of a gym, and it had depth – and it was an NBA floor. So they let us practice on their gym floor every day before we went in there. And that, we feel like, was a huge advantage to us.
Something, yeah, I just remembered. NBA floor.
Mm-hmm.
How much of a difference was that playing NBA floor compared to the high school courts?
I mean, because it's so much bigger, yeah, and longer. So we had the advantage. We got to practice on it for 5 days, or 3 days, because before that we're in Eureka. But yeah, you get used to the length and running up and down it. So we did a lot of like chasing each other drills, you know, like endo drills and stuff like that. So they know what it's like to get up and down the floor, and then the width of it, because you could really space people out.
Yeah.
And so we learned that within 3 days. And then the depth, obviously, because it was in a huge hangar. It was an old airplane hangar. So it was big, and the only thing in there was the floor. So
talk about that first half when shots were just going down for you guys. Were just like, oh my gosh, this is happening. We just hit another one. Was it just like surreal moment?
I didn't even know, because you couldn't find where I hadn't been in a gym that year where the scoreboard was on the top,
yeah,
right? So I'm looking around. I looked at my assistant. I was like, where is the score? And they're like, it's up there. And I look up, and I'm like, oh my God. And then they were all quiet about it. They're like, we haven't missed a three. I was like, holy cow. It was crazy.
Don't jinx it.
I know.
So you're very superstitious?
Very, yeah.
What are some other superstitions that you have? You have a pregame meal that's weird or anything like that?
No, I just try to do things the same. I always have a coffee at lunch. I always do certain things a certain way. And then if I mess up, I have to mentally psych myself up. Like, no, we're not letting this happen. You're not going to freak out about something being a little bit different.
Yeah.
And the girls are the same way. They're like, coach, I have to get out of here. We have to do this, blah, 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 or whatever. So they know it too.
How would you describe your coaching style? Is it, you say you play for Coach Tesler, right? He's obviously one of the great basketball coaching minds out there. You have your own style that you bring. Do you coach like you used to play as well?
Yes. Yeah. Everything's aggressive, and 100% I give all my all. And that was kind of I'm a yeller, but I raise my kids the same way. So it's not like anybody's getting treated any different than my own children. So it's not that way. But yeah, Tesler taught me a lot. He was a yeller. I don't know if Meredith wants me to say this, but she was a yeller. She was feisty and a boot stomper, you know.
She's quiet on the bench for Clovis West.
Yeah, she had some passion when I played for her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably because Craig does all the yelling.
That's right. That's yeah. right. Yeah. only got a couple minutes here. What Gabe and I talked a little bit about that in the last segment, but Central Section basketball, we've had really good teams in the past, and this year we're showing it at the end. How would you best describe up and down the state where we are and how good Central Section basketball and how much of a tight-knit community that we are?
I would say that the Central Section is really competitive, obviously. We went on the road in a lot of games that we got placed in the state, and we had upsets, right? And I feel like the coaching community, we all try to help each other out to make sure that we are successful. So, hey, you're going here. I had coaches reach out, hey, here's this film, or I'm sending it to somebody else who's going somewhere. That way we could try to be as successful as possible. I feel like we all here in the Central Section have each other's back.
I agree. I agree with that. And, yeah, I mean, it's a testament to our coaches. And, you know, obviously we're, you know, during the season, we're beating each other up and we're competing and all that. We get that. But when it comes to the state playoffs, I think we definitely we're rooting for each other. And why would you not? Like, yeah. I see you guys exchange Twitter, you know, messages with Clovis West and Sierra Pacific. And you guys are like, good luck, good luck. And yeah, congrats on this game. And that's awesome to see.
Yeah. And I feel like it helps build camaraderie among coaches. We're here to support you. You're here to help us. So
absolutely. All right. See, I told you the 20 minutes are going to fly by. I got like 5 or 6 more questions to ask you.
Thank
so
you.
It's been, yes, Anna Almeida, it's been great getting to know you the last few weeks. Your Saturdays are taken up. Now you got a track meet to go to, right?
Yep.
You got your kids' track meet to get back to in Fowler.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So thanks for driving all the way from Carruthers to here to First String Sports. And, yeah, I'm all a fan. You got a fan right here?
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Yeah, you bet. All right, coming up after the break, we got some Madera South guys. We got Murph Gray, our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week, here on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to our number 2 of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Meaders. You can follow me on Twitter at Paul Meaders, PaulMeadors. First hour is dedicated to basketball. Had a really good conversation with Carruthers girls basketball coach Anna Almeida. She's fiery, man. She is a fiery coach on the sideline. She gets after it, man. It's the girls know what to expect. And that's what it takes to be a good girls coach. So I had a lot of fun talking with her here at First String Sports on the corner of Sierra and Blackstone Avenue. Come down here, get your Letterman's jackets. A lot of people are coming in and out buying baseball equipment. I think it's turning into a beautiful day out there. We had a little bit of rain yesterday, this morning around 9 o'clock. I think some baseball games actually have been moved back or postponed. It was a big day of baseball up and down the Central Section. Yeah, so check your local listings. I don't know, check Twitter. Text people to see if your baseball game is on this afternoon. All right, speaking of baseball, we got one of the top guys, man. We got Murph Gray from Madera South. So as we're now transitioning to baseball, a lot of my 1430 ESPN student athletes of the week have been basketball wrestlers or football players, and you're our first baseball player. I couldn't imagine a better and more decorated guy. So Madera South, all-league player, 4 years starting on varsity, signed with Fresno State, one of the top two-way players in the state. All-state, I mean, tons of great stuff, but from what I hear about Murph, and I'm so happy to finally meet him and talk to him, is that I hear he's just a quality kid. Everybody raves about not only his athletic ability, but off the field as well. Just a great kid. So, Murph, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we got to talk about that name. Obviously, yeah. Murph isn't your your parent God-given name, right? So yeah. It is a nickname. Your real name is Tristan. So talk about Murph, how that came about, and how you became known as Murph Gray.
That came about from when I was born in 2003. There was this movie called Like Mike that came out, and the main character, he had a best friend that was, like, really pale, like, really small. So when I was born, I was really pale and really small, and, like, my parents just gave me that nickname, and it kind of stuck from when I was born till now.
And it started a little Bow Wow,
yeah.
Right? A little Bow Wow, Like Mike. They're yeah. trying to be like Michael Jordan,
yeah,
right? Are you a basketball guy? You like basketball as well?
Yeah, I started playing basketball in about sixth grade, but then freshman year I got like a knee injury that kind of stopped, you know, basketball and baseball for a little bit. So I kind of thought about it and just transitioned to being like a solo, just baseball player.
Got it. Your teachers, everybody calls you Murph, right?
For the most part, yeah. All my friends, family, they call me Murph. I get some of my teachers that call me that, but for the most part, it's like Murph in school and like Tristan in school at the same time.
How about when you get in trouble? What do you call your mom? You know, your parents get you in trouble. They call you Tristan, or they call you, come on, Murph. You don't get in trouble that much, though, do you?
Not really, but when I get in bad trouble, it's the full name, Tristan Allen Gray, just everything.
So when you hear that, you know you did something real bad.
I know I messed up.
So let's go back a little bit. So grew up in Madera, right? Did you start playing T-ball? You know, when did you first really love baseball?
I started playing T-ball around when I was, I want to say, 3 or 4. I was actually playing with my older brother. I can't recall too many games I actually played with him, but I would just, like, tag along with him to his T-ball practices and things like that. And it really started from when I was about 3 or 4 years old.
So you have an older brother?
Yeah, I got two older brothers, two younger brothers.
And two younger brothers. Oh, family of five. All right. So your older brothers, did you follow them around? Did you really look up to them? Or, how did you relate to your two older brothers?
Growing up with them, I just wanted to be just like them. And actually, I wanted to play better than them, you know, because, like, we'd play in the backyard, play wiffle ball, things like that. I always was the most competitive, but, you know, I was really small. So it was hard to keep up with them, but I tried my best.
You were small back then?
Yeah.
So right now, what are you listed at? Are you six? Are you really like 6'3"?
I think I'm listed at 6'4".
You're 6'4".
Yeah.
And you're well put together, right? You're certainly not skinny, and you play shortstop.
Yeah.
Not too many 6'4", 200-pound shortstops out there, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about a position change? Obviously, are you going to stick with shortstop, or what do you think the plan is?
I've been thinking about it lately now because, you know, it's certain movements at shortstop that are, you know, hard to make as, like, a big shortstop. But I think wherever, you know, I may play, I think I can do, you know, whatever, wherever.
Well, they say if you could play shortstop, you could play third base, right? I mean, just third base is just more lateral, right? And obviously, you got to charge the ball, and, you know, you're a pitcher too, so I'm sure you got a cannon of an arm.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit more about growing up. So obviously, you're at Madera South right now. Did you play travel ball? Did you play in the little leagues in Madera?
Yeah.
So talk about growing up playing baseball before high school.
Yeah, I started playing out with this travel team called the South County Colts, ran by my coach Mike. He actually passed away at the start of COVID, and I just want to give a special shout out to him because he really built me up, because I started playing up with one of his travel teams when I was around, I want to say, 6 years old, and then he just kind of just built me as a player. I was learning things younger and, you know, faster, and then he actually developed a team around some of the kids that were my same age when we were about 9 years old, and, like, from there on out, we just, you know, stuck together and played together, you know, whenever we could.
So that's important, though, to know that you had somebody that was able to build you up. So do you think it's important for you, especially, would you get really down, though? Like, let's say you probably didn't strike out a lot, but let's say you had a bad game, right?
Yeah.
Were you the type of a player when you were younger that you'd get really down on yourself, your confidence was low? Did it really take somebody to kind of build you up and build up your confidence that way?
Oh, it really did, because when I was a kid, you know, striking out and, like, you know, doing bad on the mound or, like, on the field, you know, I would actually cry. Like, when I would, like, get down in counts or start walking a lot of batters, like, I would shut down, you know. Coach Mike would always come out there, you know, pick me up a little bit, give me a little motivation, and, like, that to me, it meant a lot.
Yeah, it sounds like it is, and it's going to carry you for a long time. Who are some of your favorite Major League Baseball players right now?
Fernando Tatis, Brandon Crawford, and Aaron Judge.
All right, Fernando Tatis, phenomenal athlete. What do you like about him? You like his flair. You know, you like when he hits bombs, how he could bat flip and do things like that. Obviously, his playing the field is phenomenal. What stands out about that guy's game?
Just his style, you know, how comfortable and relaxed he is wherever he is or, like, whatever he's doing. I just really like that, how he carries himself.
And Brandon Crawford. Yeah. Right? So are you a San Francisco Giants fan then? Or are you just
Giants
like
fan.
Yeah. That guy is so consistent.
Yeah.
Right? You know, he gets to a lot of baseballs there in the field and can make pretty much every play and every throw. Is that what you like about that guy? He's consistent?
Yeah, he's very consistent defensively and offensively. That's really what I like about him.
And then Aaron Judge, obviously our Fresno State guy, right?
Yeah.
Did you go and watch him when he played at Fresno State, or you just heard about him?
I heard about him, actually. I really didn't get to watch too many Fresno State games when I was younger.
Okay. Yeah, Aaron Judge, he's obviously a fan favorite around here for the New York Yankees. All right, so you play varsity as a freshman, right? Was that always the plan? Did you have to try out? Was it going to be, well, he might play JV, but, you know, when you finally made it to varsity, you're like, oh, yeah, this is where I belong?
Yeah, that was always the plan. You know, when I first came out freshman year, I had came from basketball, and I came from my knee injury. And then when I first got there, I was effective, you know, and, like, you know, put on varsity and, like, starting, you know, batting. In a two spot, one spot, and yeah.
That's whenever you have a freshman especially, and sometimes even sophomores, it can be difficult for the upperclassmen to accept you, right? Was there a moment during that freshman year where you're like, man, all right, I like these guys. These guys have accepted me. Do you feel like you had to prove anything to them, or you're just like, man, I'm just going to let my game, you know, take care of itself?
I kind of just let my game, you know, like, take care of itself. You know, when I first got there, the guys liked me, and I had, like, an immediate influence. And, you know, learning from them, you know, it was always fun. So I think when I first got there, everything was, you know, smooth and, like, a good transition.
Well, isn't it important to not come in cocky as well, right? You got to come in, and you're like, hey, team first, because if I get on, you know, if I get on these guys' bad side, it's going to be a long season, right?
Yeah.
Was there a moment, maybe your freshman year? Sophomore year was a COVID year, right? So that your sophomore year was really cut short. Was there a moment your freshman year, obviously you said you started and you hit either leadoff or hit number two, but was there a moment where you thought to yourself, man, I belong, right? And you're playing in a tough league. You're playing against the Bullards, the San Joaquin Memorials, the Edisons, right?
Yeah.
So you're playing against those guys. But was there a moment, was there a certain play that maybe you made, you're like, yeah, I belong?
I think it was my first AB coming back off my knee injury. I had hit a single, and I was like, yeah, this is where I belong. That felt really good.
Who was the single against? You remember?
I want to say it was against either Kingsburg or Dinuba.
All right. I know those programs well. So what do you enjoy more, pitching? Obviously, when you're pitching, you're still hitting, right?
Yeah.
Coach ain't DHing you.
Yeah.
Right. So you like playing in the field, or you like pitching better?
I like playing in the field more, but I think just that the momentum and tempo, like when you're controlling the game from the mound, is totally different. I can do whatever I want, whenever I want on the mound.
Same can be said for a catcher too, right? You're controlling the game. But pitching, do you feel like, do you take your time pitching? Or are you just like, give me that ball, I'm going to fire this thing right back? What do you like to do?
I'm more of a tempo pusher when I get on the mound, because I like to keep the tempo, you know, with the defense, so they're not getting bored out on the field. I want to keep them, you know, interested and going during the game.
How about when you're at shortstop? Let's say one of your teammates is out there throwing a good game. Are you communicating with your pitcher a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
Are you talking to that guy a lot? What's the communication like?
Well, I just let him know he's doing a good job. You know, sometimes, you know, guys can get down themselves, so, you know, I got to call time, you know, just calm them down to make sure they feel relaxed and comfortable on the mound.
So last year, if these stats are right, you hit .474 last year.
Yeah.
5 homers, 30 RBIs. Do you remember all of your homers? So you hit 5. Can you replay those home runs in your head?
Not really, because most of those were accidents, you know, because when I'm hitting and, you know, taking cuts in the cage, I'm always focused on hitting line drives. You know, home runs, those are accidents. They just turn into home runs. You know, you backspin a ball good. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm more of a line drive gap-to-gap guy.
Talking with Murph Gray, Madera South, signed with Fresno State. All right, let's talk about that mentality. How easy is it for somebody like you, who's uber talented, 6'4", around 200 pounds, lightning quick bat, how tempting is it for you, let's say you're facing a pitcher that's topping out at 80 miles an hour, right? You're like, dude, I could jack one off this guy, right?
Yeah.
But like you said, you gotta take the pitch, you gotta try not to do too much. But how tempting is it for you though to just grip it and rip it?
Recently it's been really tempting. You know, I've been I've been swinging, and my head's been coming out a little bit, but I always got one of my friends, actually my catcher, whenever I pitch, Xavier Cantu, you know, he lets me know when I do, like, small things like that.
So you got a little coach right there, coach on your team. Let's talk about Fresno State and the process that it took you to sign with the Bulldogs. What was recruitment like? Was you think you were recruited heavily in the summer? But what did recruitment look like for you?
I think I was recruited heavily, during the summer, that weird COVID year. And I had a good tournament in Utah, which really, I think, got eyes on me a little bit more. But for the most part, I think it was just, you know, me just trying to be me, you know, just staying true to myself.
What other schools contacted you and wanted you?
I was talking to Cal Poly, San Jose State, and I want to say UCSB.
Okay, so you remember the first time that Fresno State contacted you? Say, hey, we're interested. Were you like, oh, my gosh, this is happening? What was that like?
After I got off the phone, I ran to my parents and told them.
What'd you tell them?
I told them I just got contacted by Fresno State, and their faces just lit up. They were really happy.
Did they, like, say, we officially want you? Because it was early, right? Because obviously you didn't officially sign until February? Last month? When did you officially sign?
I think it was...
Is it early February 3rd, maybe? In my head, that's the...
I think
in my head.
So.
Okay. So, anyway, when did they, like, say, hey, we officially want you, right? Was that same phone call?
No, I think it was about 3 or 4 phone calls in.
Okay, got it. So why did you eventually, or why did you sign to become a Bulldog? What do you love about the Fresno State program?
They're just gritty, you know, straight grinders, you know, and it's the home team. You know, you got to support the home team, so... To me, it's all about, you know, how they play, how they carry themselves. They're always grinding, you know, going hard at practices. I've sat and watched a few of their practices, and they get after it.
Are you looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah.
So Coach Batesall is known, right, and the coaching staff there. It's what you just said, just grinding, get after it. What do you think it's going to take for you mentally? I know we're thinking ahead a full year. You got a full baseball season ahead of you, your senior year.
Yeah.
But what do you think mentally – you're going to have to really adapt to the Division I college level?
Not getting in my own head and, you know, just staying true to myself, because I think at some points and times, I think I can really get in my own head and mess myself up. But I think to adjust to that college lifestyle, I'm just going to need to, you know, stick to it and just stay simple and, like, continue on and keep grinding through, you know, the tough college process.
How important has your family, you mentioned your dad, right, your family been in your not only your baseball career but in you developing your character?
Yeah, they try not to miss games, and, you know, they stay positive with me. You know, they let me know when I'm doing things wrong, doing things right. They keep me on track to, you know, maintain, you know, and stay successful.
So you stayed with Madera South, right? I'm sure there might be some people with your ability says, man, why don't you go to some school that plays, you know, plays this school and plays this school. Maybe you're facing 90 miles an hour every day. I know you're playing again with in a league with Memorial and Bullard, who's got really good pitchers. But why is Madera and the city and town of Madera so important to you?
That's where I grew up. All my friends are there. I play Little League and travel ball with all my friends, and we've hung out so much. I spent the night at a lot of their houses, and, you know, we just had fun growing up. So I thought, why not stay in my hometown, play from my home high school, and just stay true to my friends, family, and the community in Madera.
Who are some of the toughest baseball players, pitchers out there, baseball players that you've played with and then you play against? There's some dudes out there.
I actually faced Jake Dixon, you know, at Fresno State my freshman year, and that was
Sanger, right?
Yeah, Sanger. That was probably my toughest at bat I've had in high school. It was crazy seeing 90 as a freshman. That was not easy.
And he's a lefty, right?
Yeah, and that's what made it even tougher, because he was, like, so tall on the mound, and I was, like, 5'10", 5'11". It was just weird to look at and see.
So what are your goals for this year as far as playing for Madera South? You got some personal goals that you want to reach? You got some team goals? What are some goals for you?
Team goals, you know, just stay focused and, you know, keep grinding and, you know, just keep playing the way we're playing. I think we can use a little motivation push at some times, but I think if we just keep grinding and stay true to ourselves and just stay motivated, I think we'll be successful throughout the season. And then personally, I need to build and just – I think I need to be more of a vocal leader instead of a lead by example, because last year I was more of a lead by example, and then I think this year I need to really stay vocal and, you know, keep my guys, you know, interested in the game and, you know, just keep them going.
Well, that's important. It's your senior year, right? No looking back, talking with Murph Gray, Madera South. All right. I think that you're probably on some radars for Major League Baseball teams, right? Is there any talk of you potentially being drafted? And what happens if you get drafted? Is that going to be tempting for you? Have you and your family talked about that yet?
I talk a lot with my mom about it. She wants me to go to college really bad. And I think I'm going to need that. I think I need to adjust, you know, to a higher level of baseball. So I think college will be the way for me.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Couple more questions here. Talked a little bit about video games, right? You said you're a 2K2 guy.
Yeah.
You like playing those types of games.
Yeah.
What other things do you like to do off the field? What are some hobbies and activities you like to do?
Just hang out with friends, you know, like go swimming or something, hit in the cage, play basketball, and then I go fishing every now and then.
All right.
Go to the beach, chill with family, you know, just try to keep my mind, you know, off of just strictly baseball and school, you know, try to like stay active with my friends and things like that.
All right. How are your grades?
Oh, they're looking good right now. Yeah,
looking good. Yeah, they better. That's a good answer. You don't want your mom and dad listening to this and say, what, your grades? No, yeah. But you got good grades. All right. You're our 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. Okay, couple more questions. Do you have any, like, superstitions that you have in baseball? Baseball can be a very superstitious sport, right?
Yeah.
Got routines. Maybe you jump over a line when you go out and play shortstop. You got any superstitions or anything that you like to do?
I wear the same basketball shorts under my baseball pants. I make sure I wash them, too. I always wash them, just to let you guys know. I always wash them, but wear the same basketball shorts from when I got them freshman year. And then I make sure I do jump over the line. I don't like stepping on the line.
No, you can't, yeah.
And then I think that's about it. You know, I'm superstitious, but I really don't know what I'm superstitious about. I just like to, you know, replicate my game and make sure everything transfers over game to game.
So you had that perfect game against Washington Union to open the season, right?
Yeah.
Was anybody talking to you during the game? Was anybody messing with you or saying, dude, you got a no-hitter, dude, you got a perfect game, or they left you alone?
I was trying to talk to people, but they were actually, you know, not trying to talk to me. They were, like, either walking away or just, like, sitting there silent, and I was kind of like, that's weird, you know, I'm trying to talk to you. How come you're not trying to talk to me? And actually, a few guys, when I had went out to go pitch, some of the players said, like, yeah, they were talking about your perfect game. And I didn't even know I had a perfect game. I was just trying to do me, help the team.
Until you didn't know until, like, afterwards?
I didn't know until that last pitch when everybody started running out on the field. And I was just looking so confused. I was like, what happened? what happened?
All right. That's awesome. So you got a game tonight?
Yeah, at 6.
At 6 o'clock against Fireball?
Yeah.
Is it at home?
At home.
Oh, right, at home. All right, Murph, this has been great to get to know you. You know, I've heard great things about you. Obviously, you are a superstar on the field, but looks like you're a superstar off the field as well. So congratulations and
good luck
the rest of the year.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, great conversation. Keep an eye on this kid. Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with his coach, Alan Sandoval, talking about him. You know, obviously, his rise in the Madera South program, talking about baseball in the Central Section, coming up on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Mitters, here at First String Sports. We've had a great show so far. First hour was basketball heavy. Got the big basketball state playoff games tonight, including the Clovis West girls at on the road to Archbishop Mitty, Clovis West boys at home against Modesto Christian, San Joaquin Memorial girls home. Taking on the 8 seed Lincoln. A lot of stuff going on actually on soccer as well. Buchanan girls are playing up north for the D1 NorCal finals. Now remember, soccer, there's no true state champion. There's just a NorCal and SoCal champion. They don't play each other. For basketball, yep, there's going to be a state champion this year in all divisions. We haven't crowned a true state champion in the last 2 years. COVID has taken away the last two state championships at Golden One Arena in Sacramento, but this year we are. So no just NorCal and SoCal champions. There's going to be a true state champion. And, yeah, we're rooting for our Central Section teams, man. I tell you, Clovis West boys, they got a good shot. If they win, they're going to play in the NorCal finals. I believe it will be Wednesday of next week or Tuesday of next week. All right, second hour, baseball. Baseball loaded. Just had Murph Gray. What a nice young man, extremely talented, well-spoken. The guy's got a great voice already. You can tell that he's been right. He's been raised right. So, yeah, what a great kid. We're going to keep tabs on that kid throughout this year as well and moving forward. So in transition now, I thought to myself, well, got Murph Gray, Madera South, might as well bring on his coach. All right, so Alan Sandoval is in the house, head coach at Madera South, played at Kerman, four-year starter, played for Jay Pruce.
Yep.
And I texted him, I got a couple Jay Pruce stories, so yeah, I was going to surprise you with that. And according to your bio, Fresno Pacific, where you played as well, you hold 6 school records. At Kerman, did you know that?
I did, yeah.
6 yes, school records, yes. All hitting, yep. Right? No yep. Fielding records, but yep. All hitting. We got a couple fun connections that we're going to go into later. So let's, first of all, thanks for driving. Do you live in Madera?
No, I actually live here in Fresno, so it wasn't too bad, yeah.
There you go,
yeah.
Not too bad. all right, so first of all, let's talk about that kid that was just on. What's it like to coach such a talented kid and such a respectful kid as well? I mean, what's it like coaching a kid like that?
It's special. I mean, when kids are that good, sometimes they aren't humble, or you know, they think they know more than what they actually do. But he's the most humble kid that you'll ever meet. Raised right, does everything right, does everything that he's asked. You know, he's gonna go on and play at levels that I could never even imagine of, and he still respects me and listens to me and takes my advice and takes my coaching and takes my hard coaching and you know, does a really good job of just being humble.
And I hit on a little bit with him, and obviously he's a young kid, he's still in high school, but for me, for a young kid as talented as that, where I'm sure the temptations were out there to be, you know, to go to a different school, right? But it says a lot about his character that he stayed true to Madera South, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, his best friends are from Madera. He grew up in Madera. He wants to represent Madera. I was talking to my athletic director, and she, you know, she was just saying about how any interview he does, no matter what he's doing, he's wearing something Madera South. So there's a lot of school pride there. There's a lot of pride in this town. And, yeah, it could have been easy, and probably nobody would have blamed him if he would have gone somewhere else, somewhere bigger, right? But, you know, that's not what he's about. That's not what his family's about. They're Madera through and through, and, you know, he'll always have Madera. They'll always have his back.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot of fun to follow his career. Let's talk about this year's team. So you guys are 3-1-1.
Yes.
And, God, with baseball, and I've mentioned this before, I hate when you say that tie.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know where I was going with that. I hate that. You're going to have to be writing that for all year. You're going to have that tie at the end. But that was a really good game against Kingsburg.
Yeah, it was a really good game. Really well-pitched game with, you know, Holden Hirschkorn, and yeah. Then we had Murph on our end. And it was just – it was dominated, pitching dominated. And it was a fun game to be a part of, a fun game to coach. It was 1-1. I think there were over 25 strikeouts combined, but – there was a lot of coaching that went into it, and it definitely got my heart beat up that entire game.
Was it at home or was that?
It was at Kingsburg.
It was
yeah.
At Kingsburg.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've obviously followed the Hirschkorns, which is mm-hmm. You got that connection because you played for Dad.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
And I've heard about those Hirschkorn twins for a long time because uh-huh. I teach in Traver, right? And Traver and Kingsburg yeah. are related, so you know there's some little league guys that I teach within Traver, so I always talk about the Hirschkorns. what was that like? Coaching against your former coach's sons, right?
I think it's just it puts into perspective how old I'm getting, I guess.
You're not that
old. But you know, it was I've heard of them, never seen them play. And man, they're good. They are the real deal. One pitched and the other played shortstop, and they both could swing it. Man, that lefty man just kept us off balance. He knew how to pitch, threw hard. I mean, you could tell Dad's putting a lot of work with them. And I got to talk to Oscar after the game, which was nice. And it was really, I was really happy. He told me, you know, how well of a job I'm doing, and that he can see it out on the field, and it was just it meant the world to hear that from him.
Absolutely. Who are some of the standouts on your team this year? It's obviously Murph is the headliner, but who are some other dudes on
right,
on
so
team?
So we have some dudes. We have a junior named Xavier Cantu. He's a catcher, really good hitter, really. But his best asset is just behind the plate. Does a good job with their pitching staff. We have a shortstop named Gilbert Moisa. He's a sophomore. He's hitting 500 right now. He's our leadoff hitter. He's a really good player. We have a couple seniors, Brian Monges, Jonathan Spraggins, who have been with us for 4 years now as well with Murph. Play center field. They're both going to play somewhere next year. We'll see where they end up at. But we have some dudes, and it's a good group to coach, a good group to just watch play.
How do you schedule your games in regards to CMAC? Obviously, CMAC's loaded every year, right? It's a gauntlet. Mm-hmm. Do you like to play in the tournaments and just kind of see where your team is at? How do you gauge the preseason?
Yeah, so we play in the Central Valley Diamond Classic, which is hosted by Fowler and Bill Fever, and, man, he knows how to put tournaments on. He does a really good job. He does a really good job of scheduling, getting us our games. So I really like playing in that one, really good competition. I mean, there's teams like Kerman, Sanger, Kingsburg, Fireball, Emmanuel, just to name a few. And so I feel like that tournament gets us ready for CMAC. And then we play in the Selma Easter Classic as well. And those coaches out there do a really good job of putting that tournament on. That tournament's been on forever.
Yeah, it has.
Yeah. So that one's fun to play in. But, you know, these tournament games allow us to kind of see where we're at, see where we need to improve on, and kind of just solidify everything going into CMAC, which is tough.
Yeah. Gauntlet, right?
Yep.
Where are some of your favorite places to play on the road? I'm thinking about stadiums, right? So when you mentioned Fowler, like, yeah. I played on that field. Yeah. I coached on that field. That's mm-hmm. that's a beautiful beautiful stadium that they have over there. You know, Selma, right? That's mm-hmm. has a lot of nostalgia as well. What are some of your favorite ball fields to visit?
I like Washington Union's new field.
I
love playing there. It's such a nice field. Matt Fox does a good job. That district does a good job out there with maintaining the field. So I really like playing there. Kind of the country scenery in the background. As a player, I love playing. I know the drive is hectic, but I love going up to Sierra, and with their scenery, the mountains, and playing up there. I like Emmanuel's new complex. I like Emmanuel's old complex as well. But definitely Memorial. Memorial's field is beautiful. Their barn batting cages are beautiful, and you know, it's just a lot of good facilities around the central section.
No, there is. Talking with Alan Sandoval, head coach at Madera South. Yeah, there's a lot of beautiful facilities. So that's one thing I think I don't know if spoiled is the word I could use, but you see some of these powerhouse SoCal teams, right, and how they always got first-round guys, but their facilities, I'll be honest, aren't as good as the ones at Clovis Unified, mm-hmm. right? There's a lot of schools that come up from South, and they're like, wait a second, this is a college, right? No, it's Buchanan's mm-hmm. baseball state. Wait, mm-hmm. hold on. No, this is Clovis High. This is a high school, right? And just the stadium seating, because you see even in SoCal a lot of bleachers yeah. still. Yep. Right, in like the modern days in some of those big mm-hmm. schools, you see the bleachers. So what's your field look like? I've never been there.
How
can you describe your
field? So we do a pretty good job of maintaining our field. I would like some, you know, some permanent seating. We have bleachers as well. But, I mean, all in all, we have a nice little complex with our freshman field, our JV field, and our varsity field, all right there in that same area. So our playing surface is great. We have a really good field, really good playing surface, and we're going to make some developments through the years with hopefully some permanent seating, some covered cages, maybe adding some background stuff. Okay. But, you know, as far as our playing surface, I think our playing surface is second to none.
Okay. Am I right in read through Cal High Sports that you have a female on your baseball team, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, let's talk about that. What a great story.
Yeah, so Kaylee Kajitani, she's a left-handed pitcher for us. And, you know, she's been playing baseball her whole life. So her grandfather is actually Eddie Chapa. So our field is named Eddie Chapa Field. So baseball runs through, you know, that family, that blood. She's got that baseball blood. And so she actually tried playing softball first, and she just didn't like it. It was too slow for her.
Yeah, it's underhand.
Yeah.
Come on.
It was too slow for her. So her family, you know, they're like, well, you grew up with – You're a chopper, right? So they convinced her to play baseball, and from the age of 8, 9 years old, she's been playing baseball. So I got to meet her when I went to go watch Desmond Middle School play in 8th grade. And, you know, she was out there pitching and throwing strikes and getting people out. And Then just developing through, she started freshman summer ball, and then she started on the freshman JV team. She was the opening day starter on the JV team as a freshman. And she's just always been able to get out. And it's a cool story, like, that she's a girl. But, like I tell people, it's an even better story that I get to say I have a great left-handed pitcher who can come out of the bullpen and get outs.
Absolutely. What year is she right now?
So she's a senior.
She's a senior mm-hmm. this year. Yeah, like I said, Cal High Sports did a little write-up about that. So, yeah, so that is awesome. All right, let's go back a little bit to your days at Kerman.
Okay.
So you're a four-year starter.
Yes.
There at Kerman in the Jay Pruce era.
Yep.
So, yeah, describe that time. I think you guys fell short, right, of
yeah.
a Valley Championship?
My senior year, yeah. My senior year, we lost in the Valley Championship to Washington Union. But, you know, my four high school years at Kerman High were the best baseball years of my life. Jay Pruce is a great coach. I still text him regularly asking him for advice, asking him for, just what he would do in certain situations. I was telling him a story when Murph was throwing a perfect game. It was the season opener. So I was kind of worried because I didn't want Murph to go 110 pitches, you know.
Yeah.
But, I didn't want to be the coach that takes his pitcher out during a perfect game. But luckily he only had 80 pitches. But I told Pruce, I was like, I was about to call you and say, like, hey, what would you do in this situation? But, you know, just a lot of great memories with Pruce. Great guy, great coach, great baseball mind. But more than anything, just the connections that he made with each and every single one of his players. Like, I would still to this day run through a brick wall for that guy. And, I think that's why he was so successful in Kerman. I mean, obviously, yeah, he knows a lot about baseball, but more than that, the connections that he made with every single player.
Have you found how now have your own program, mm-hmm. how important that is, the connection between being a player's coach but mm-hmm. yet drawing hard lines,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You think that's a good balance that every coach needs?
Yep, absolutely. Because, I mean, a player's coach, you do need to be a player's coach. Your players need to like you. It's just like a teacher, right? Your kids aren't going to learn from somebody who they don't like. Well, they're not going to play hard for somebody they don't like either. So I make sure I build good connections with them, but they understand there is a line. And I do coach hard, and when I need to, I get on them. And, yesterday I got on them. We had a kind of a flat practice, so I kind of got on them yesterday. And it's something where they know that I'll be tough on them, but I love those guys, and they know that. And, as a result, I think they play hard for me.
So after Kerman, mm-hmm. then you went and played at West Hills, mm-hmm. and then you played at Fresno Pacific?
Yes.
Hirschhorn. So what I like asking anybody that's played college yes. sport, like college baseball, college basketball, college football is exactly that, right? The I don't care what level it's at, it's still a college sport yep. and how tough it is. So how good a competition is it at any college level?
Oh, man, it's so much different from high school. It's a step up. I mean, playing at West Hills, we played Fresno City 3 times. We played COS 3 times. We played Reedley 3 times. It was the first year that Purse came, and he got just tons of people going to Reedley. And even some of we played some teams from Northern California, Southern California that were just fantastic. And, you know, junior college pitching, you didn't see anybody throwing, you didn't see any position players that were just up there to, throw strikes. We saw pitchers, and it was the first time in my life that I'd seen that. Going to West Hills was great for me because I led the conference in at bats, and I got to hit, and I hit 300. And because of my time at West Hills, I developed as a player and got to go to Fresno Pacific, where it just got even tougher there.
Yeah, I know. Like, you just think, well, it's Division II. Was it Division II back then, or
so,
was it NA, or, yeah?
So I got to play when I first got to FPU. It was NAIA,
yeah.
And then my next year we transitioned into Division II.
All right, mm-hmm. That's right. But, and, I mean, you're still seeing 93,
yeah.
94.
Yeah, and so the thing about, so NAIA, the thing that a lot of people I don't think realize is that there's a lot of D1 kickbacks that can't make grades at the NCAA level, so they go to NAIA and play right away. So you see dudes at the NAIA level.
Yeah.
I think the NAIA level is tougher than NCAA D2 just because of that, because guys, it's, they don't make grades, and then they can go right away and play at an NAIA. Like Lewis and Clark State gets a lot of those guys. We played Lewis and Clark State, and, man, those were some – we beat them at FPU my first year there. But, man, they had some dudes, and they had a guy throwing, like, 95 miles an hour. And I was like, man, this is a whole different level of baseball.
Yeah, it is. I agree. Yeah, college baseball is good at any level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
At any level. I want to go back a little bit. When I was texting Coach Bruce,
because
we know each other, we go back a little ways, he wanted to say you hit 3 home runs at Emmanuel.
Yeah.
True story.
True story, yeah.
So, old – The old field, right?
Yes.
It's now torn down.
Yeah.
Right? So now they got the elementary school. They built a complex out there. I played on that field. I watched my brother play on that field. I coached on that field. Yeah, Prue said, you know, short porch, right? what do you say to that?
Yeah, man, he always brings that up. I know whenever I see, you know, Jay Pruce commented, I know it's something about Emmanuel. I know it's, you know, on Facebook. I know he's going to be talking about Emmanuel. Man, there were no doubters. He always says, you know, they were short porch, but I think those balls are out anywhere. But, yeah, so I was just being a switch hitter. I was hitting left-handed that day, and I got the advantage of that short porch in right. But like I tell Proust, those were no doubters. I'm going to die on that grave.
So 100% those balls are out at Kerman.
At Kerman, they are in the softball field.
All right.
Yes.
Put it to rest. There it is. You heard it. Balls are out at Kerman at any ballpark. All right, let's go back a tiny bit. So our fun connection is that you were in my wife's class in Kerman in fifth grade.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And that's when she transitioned from being a Myers, mm-hmm. her maiden name, to Metters that same year.
Yep.
Right? So how cool is that, right? That you're in my wife's class. So you got to say good things about my wife. Right?
Of course. No, it's a small world. It's and I remember her, you know, her when she was Myers, she was the cool young teacher. Everybody wanted to be in her class, and I was excited from fourth grade to fifth grade because I knew I was going to be in her class. But then I got the letter in the mail, you know, and the letter in the mail that you get every year that kind of says, like, oh, who your teacher is going to be the next year. And it was some lady named Metters, and I was like, oh, man, like, you know, like, I'm like, it must be a new teacher. Like, I'm going to get a new teacher. But no, I show up the first day of school, and it's her. And
it was the same lady.
Yeah, same lady. Just found out she got married. And she actually used to tell me, she was like, yeah, my husband's a sports freak. Like, you two would get along so well. And, man, who would have thought, you know, some – more than a couple years later, we'd be, you know, here doing an interview.
Here we are.
Yeah.
2022, yeah, year of our Lord.
She was a great, great teacher.
Good. Yeah. Good. A very good answer. really quick. So, you know, she was a softball player. She's the most humble person ever. She hit 636 her sophomore year at Fair Oaks.
Oh, wow.
Bella Vista High School in Fair Oaks. 636.
I didn't know
one of her. Yeah, well, there you go. Now you know.
Yeah.
And the world knows now. 636.
Yeah.
So that was one of her nicknames. All right. How did you get your start in coaching then? So after Fresno Pacific, did you know right away, boom, I'm going into coaching?
Yeah, so I always tell everybody I got into teaching because I wanted to get into coaching. That's the reason I'm a teacher. I mean, I love teaching, but I mean, I probably wouldn't be a teacher if it wasn't for high school baseball. I was actually lucky that in 2014, you know, Coach Pruce called me and said, hey, I need a JV coach. You know, I was fresh out of FPU. I graduated in 2013. I was subbing. So I got my shot there got to coach the JV team, got to hang out with Pruce at varsity practices. And, you know, extremely blessed that I got that opportunity because in a couple of years later, I went and coached with Bobby Wade at Madera South and then eventually took over.
All right. So who are some of your mentors? Obviously you mentioned Jay, and are there some other coaches that you really look up to?
Yeah. So, I mean, one that stands out, well, first and foremost, my dad. He's not a baseball mind, but he was a college wrestler. So, I mean, a lot of the mental stuff that I deal with and kind of coach my kids up on, that comes from him. Definitely Oscar Hirschkorn. I was telling Hirschkorn a lot of what I do at practice comes from what we did at FPU. That Paul Hodson, he passed away my year at West Hills. Great guy, tough coach, man. If you could play for him, you could play for anybody. But again, that was one of the coaches that you knew loved you and you knew was there for you as a person. Being because of that, I would run through a brick wall for that guy too. Mark Uter is another one of my coaches at Kerman. Paul Valenzuela, Josh Kyfors, you know, a lot of the Kerman guys. I could still know that I could still go back and ask them questions, and they would be there for me, and extremely grateful for that.
That's great. That's awesome. So when league rolls around, right, you're facing the Bullards and the Memorials. How are you preparing your team for a lot of those tough games?
You know, we just play them. You know, we prepare them to play hard. You know, we know we're up for an uphill battle. I mean, being Madera South, we haven't been too successful in the CMAC. But I think this year is different. I think this year we have the dudes to compete. We have Murph. You know, we're looking for a solid number two right now, somebody to step up and be that number two. But, I mean, offensively, I think we're light years ahead of where we've ever been. So I think we have the opportunity to compete with Bullard and Memorial. And as long as we just play hard and play Madera South baseball, which is greedy baseball.
Talking with Alan Sandoval. We only got a couple more minutes. All right. Who are your favorite Major League Baseball players? I think I read right. You're a Giants guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah. Got a big smile on your face. All right, Giants guy. So who are your favorite Major League Baseball players?
So I'm a big Brandon Crawford guy. Buster Posey, probably my favorite Giant of all time. He's a recent Giant, but Joe Panik. I love watching Joe Panik play. I was a second baseman.
Yep. Left-handed hitter.
Left-handed hitter, yeah. So Joe Panik's probably one of my favorite players. Love watching Tony Gwynn. Videos of him when he played. Obviously Barry Bonds. Some non-Giants would be like Tatis, would be like Ozzie Albies, Aaron Judge. I'm a big Derek Jeter fan, so those are some of my favorite baseball players.
You didn't mention any Dodgers.
No, there are no Dodgers. No.
I know. Yeah, I figured so. All right, as a Dodger fan, I know 1430 is a flagship for the San Francisco Giants, but yeah, I can definitely appreciate Brandon Crawford and Buster Posey,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like with Buster, just an amazing ability to take the ball to right field,
yep,
right? To take any,
yep,
handle any pitch.
Yep.
I mean, he could obviously turn on a ball, but
mm-hmm,
he'd take inside pitches to right field.
Yep.
I mean, just what a joy that guy was, right?
Oh, yeah, Buster Posey, man, it was fun to watch. I mean, he could have been a guy easily who hit 30 home runs and hit 240, but that wasn't his game. His game was to hit 300, hit the ball the other way, and help his team win any way he can. And, I mean, I Three World Series championships and MVP, I think.
And a Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. I think it worked out well for him.
Hall of Famer, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some doubts about just because of his overall stats,
yeah,
aren't super impressive. But Hall of Famer, I can say that as a Dodger fan. I can appreciate Buster Posey.
Yeah.
All right, hey, our time is up. Alan Sandoval, Madera South. So thanks very much for coming in. It's been a lot of fun. You know, you got a superstar player, but, you know, your team as a whole, we're going to definitely be watching this year. So thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Absolutely. All right. That's a wrap for a couple hours. Coming back after the break, wrapping things up a little bit more on 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. These 2 hours always fly by here at 1430. We are your high school sports leader dedicated to bringing to light all the great stuff that's happening out there in the Central Section. We love talking about players. We love talking to coaches. Love talking about what motivates them, what drives them, their stories, right? The connections that we have. That's why this place is so special, just the connection that we have. And talking to Carruthers girls basketball coach and Almeida, just how when it comes playoff season in the state playoffs, how everybody roots for each other. They're trading film. They're sending encouraging notes. That's what I love about our Central Section. That's great to see in this hyper-competitive world, in this world where there's lots of crazy stuff going on. It's great to hear fun stories about the great things that are happening in the Central Section. So thank you to First String Sports for sponsoring the show. They do a phenomenal job. Thanks to Gabe Camarillo back at home base. Does a phenomenal job. Don't forget to follow him at Gabe Camarillo. I mean, the guy does everything. Writes for the Clovis Roundup. He's now announcing Fresno State baseball games for the Mountain West Network. He's still a student at Fresno State, but he does all these things. And he does it because, first of all, he's passionate. And because he loves it and he wants to get, all the kids' names out there and the teams and the wonderful things that are going on. So thanks to Gabe. Thanks to Anna Almeida from Carruthers Girls. They're national or a state powerhouse now for Carruthers. Thanks to Murph Gray. Just, again, a phenomenal kid, a great baseball player, great kid off the field as well. Madera through and through. Love to see it. Thanks to Alan Sandoval, who was just here, Madera South coach. Great guy as well. I mean, he's a young and upcoming coach. Again, he's going against some big schools, and they're not backing down. And when you got a guy like Murph Gray, anything can happen, as you could tell by that first game where he throws a perfect game against Washington Union. So thanks to all those guys. Tonight, again, remember, Clovis West boys, I'll be there at the game. Starts at 5 o'clock, a little bit of an early start. Taking on Modesto Christian. I'm going to do my best to tweet out updates of that game. No radio broadcast But yeah, the Wi-Fi isn't really good, especially when there's a lot of people there. So I usually have to run out of the gym and tweet updates so we can all go through. So follow me. We'll be keeping track of that game. Good luck to the Clovis West girls. San Joaquin Memorial girls are also at home, taking on Lincoln, the number 8 seed, I believe. So guys, go ahead and check that out. Bullard boys on the road. Clovis North boys on the road as well. So, in closing, remember, be kind, be generous, be passionate in everything that you do, and leave it all in the field. Talk to you soon.
Your home of the Las Vegas Raiders, 1430 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader, KFIG Fresno.